Amen. God is good. And if you're a first-time guest with us today, thank you for being here with us at church. And I picked up something from the store that's in this bag. It is made by Charms, and it's called Fluffy Stuff, Cotton Candy. So I'm going to start off this morning by asking you a question. The question I have for you this morning is, when you think of cotton candy, what word comes to your mind? I heard sugar, I heard sweet, I heard sticky, and I heard fluffy. Yes, all of the above. You know, cotton candy, yeah, fluffy. I think that's why they call it fluffy stuff, huh? But cotton candy has a lot of fluff. You know, it looks good on the outside, but on the inside, it lacks substance. It lacks substance. And you know what? Cotton candy is something that just doesn't hold up. You know what I mean? For instance, my wife Kathy is going to bring a bowl of water up here. And my son Elijah told us something this morning, and I'm going to put it to the test. He said that if you take some cotton candy, as I'm going to do right here, and eat it. I'm just kidding. Later. But he said if you take some cotton candy and you put it in water, it will disintegrate in seconds. Whoa. He's right. Absolutely. Thank you for that demonstration. Appreciate that. The title of the message today is this: it's Don't Be a Cotton Candy Christian. And what I mean by that is this, is that what we just saw with the cotton candy should not be characteristic of a Christian. You see, yes, life is life, and life can get sticky, life can be draining, life can sometimes be disappointing. Sometimes in life you feel like you're drowning, and you need to come up for air, amen? You need a break. You need a vacation. Ever been there? I think we all have. But one thing that we want to make sure is when we're going through life and we feel that way, we want to make sure that when life happens that we are not a cotton candy Christian that's made up of fluff, but rather we're made up of substance, made up of stuff, substance. You know, instead of being fluffy, so to speak, we're being filled. We're being filled with the Word of God. So what does a Christian look like that's not a cotton candy Christian? That's what I want to talk about here today. A Christian that's not a cotton candy Christian is one that's made up of substance. You're being filled. You're being filled with the Word. You're being filled with the Word of God. You're maturing spiritually. And as we mature, not only will it help us in those sticky situations not to fall apart, but it'll help us, again, to be strong. And it'll help others too. This morning, I'd like you to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to be looking at two verses today. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13 and verse number 14. And the context of this passage in the Bible is what the church can do and what people in the church serving can do to make a difference in lives. It shows us in this passage today the benefits of going to church, the benefits of learning in church, the benefits of serving each other in church. And as we go through this process of spiritual maturity in our lives, it's not something that's instantaneous. We all grow. We all grow in spiritual maturity. But as we grow in spiritual maturity in our lives, as we mature, we can see God at work. For instance, we can see God at work through the church, specifically in four areas in our lives that I want to show you here this morning. For instance, God has a goal for our lives, and he wants to accomplish these goals through the church. Number one, if you want to take notes, to bring you to a place of unity. Bring you to a place of unity. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13, it starts off with these words. It says, until we all come into the unity of the faith. That's the goal. You know, little children, they fuss and they squabble and they steal each other's toys. But mature adults, they learn how to get along with each other. They might have differences, opinions on things. For instance, they might like different sports teams. They might like certain kinds of music that differ from one another. Some might like strawberry ice cream. Some might like Spam. I don't know why, but I'm just kidding. Hey, but we don't allow the differences to cause division. You still recognize the fact that you're a believer amongst other believers, and you have more in common than you think because of your faith in Christ. And as we grow spiritually and we focus more on what we have in common with one another rather than how we're different, then and only then can we reach the place where God wants us to be, unified. Not just unified as a body of believers here, but unified with your spouse, unified with your parents, unified with your kids, unified with your grandkids, unified with your friends, unified. And a great way to be unified is to be in a small group. Today, we have a series of three testimonies. They're kind of split apart from different people in our church that have been asked to share about their small group and what it means to them from personal experience of being in one. And the first couple that's coming up, their names are Alex and Mariah Dominguez, and they're going to share with you about their experience in a young married small group called Agape Connected. Would you welcome them?
It's okay, how about the boy? Oh, yeah, there we go. I was going to start yelling. So we're so thankful to be here today, you know, to be able to share our personal story with you all. My name is Alan Dominguez, and this is my wife, Mariah. We are part of Agape Connected, a married couples group that meets here every Wednesday night. Mariah and I moved to Florida from Connecticut in November 2022 with our daughter, Zoe. And then we welcomed our second daughter, Chloe, in April 2023. One of our prayers to God, especially upon moving here to our new home, was to actually find a church and get connected. Similar to the team for Crossroads in 2024, a spiritual growth was a longing for the both of us. We wanted to grow our faith, our marriage, and our role as parents. And we knew that living in isolation will not be the answer.
So the wonderful staff members at the Welcome Center provided us a list of all the life groups offered by Crossroads. The list was curated based on topic and audience, for example, married couples. Bree and Ethan saw us attend a few Sundays and introduce themselves, and the rest is definitely history. We are very blessed to have met so many Christ-centered married couples. We learn from one another, we share in our similarities, and embrace our differences. During our life group, we have the opportunity to explore our marriage and learn what it means to have Christ at the center. For example, we did an exercise on expressing gratitude toward our spouses by noting the actions that they make out of their love for us. It was very humbling and special, and I remember thinking that night when I got home how it is so important to take rest, cherish, and honor my husband as he is my family's head, like Christ is the head of the church. We also were able to participate and walk through Bethlehem, which was such a wonderful experience and truly a blessing. I don't think we would have had the courage if it not for us attending Agape Connected. And not only that, but we look forward to coming to church every Sunday. It's so exciting to see our church family every week.
Whether you are new or have been attending to Crossroads for a while, we highly recommend joining a life group, and we are actually very excited to see what God is going to bring for this year to for Crossroads. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. Awesome testimony. Awesome testimony. So to prevent us from being that cotton candy Christian, as I said, God wants to bring you to a place of unity. But God's second goal for us is this, to bring you to a place of understanding. Again, look with me at verse 13. The Bible says this. It says, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And as we are taught the truth of God's word by those that are gifted to teach the truth, such as those in our small groups, we learn. We learn about the Son of God. And who is the Son of God? Jesus. You know, we learn from our small group leaders. We learn in church. We learn by reading and studying on our own. And one of the surest ways for you to grow in internal strength and not fall apart like that cotton candy, as well as grow in your outward love to other people, is for you to fully understand the one that loved you enough to give his life for you. For you to understand the one that we serve. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, Paul phrased it this way. He said that I may know him. And the way Paul says that is that he really, really wants to know Jesus. And it's not that Jesus is a stranger in your life. He's not an acquaintance, someone that you talk to only when you need something. But you know him. You know him like a father. You know him like a friend. You really know him, is what the Bible says here. That's what God's goal is for you in your life, that you might come fully into the full knowledge of the Son of God. He's your father. He's your friend. You know, last Sunday night at our home, we invited all of our small group leaders, everybody that leads a small group in our church, over 30-plus groups, we invited them to come. If they were married, we invited them to bring their spouses with them to our house. We had a time of fellowship, a time of eating, and then a time of prayer. So after we finished fellowshipping and eating, we split the guys up from the girls, and the girls all went into one area of the house, and all the guys went into another room, and here you have a bunch of guys that are sitting down praying. It was such a sweet time of prayer. Each man was praying for those in the person sitting next to him, those in his group, those class members, and praying for that leader of that group. Such a sweet time of prayer. But after that prayer time was over, the ladies finished before us. I don't know how that happened. But they finished before we did. So they're waiting for us to finish, and after we finished the last person, we went around, and after the last person finished praying, all of a sudden, the sliding glass door opens up, and here comes Ethan and Brianna Bullock's youngest child, Olive. She's about a year and a half. And she comes and runs right past that sliding glass door with all those men in the room. She has her arms extended out, and she says, Daddy! And out of all the men in the room, as crowded as it is, she knew who her father was. She knew him. He wasn't a stranger. He wasn't an acquaintance. But he was her father. How did she know him? She knew him because the quantity of time that she has spent with this man in her life. She knew him because she's experienced the love from this man in her life. She's experienced the care from this man in her life. So when she walked into a crowded room full of men, she knew exactly who to go to. That was her father. And that should be the same way for us as well with Jesus, as Paul is talking about here in this passage. You see, God's goal is for you is to understand. He wants us to have understanding, not ignorance. Understanding in who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, what Jesus can do and is doing in your life, how he can work in you and through you. If we live our lives today with an openness to let Jesus willingly use us. An example of this that's going on right now in our church is going to be given to you through a testimony that's going to be shared. It's going to be shared by my wife, but it's actually a testimony from someone in our church that wasn't able to be here today. She's out of town. Her name is Darlene Messina, but Kathy is going to come and read her testimony.
Good morning. So Darlene says, I have been a member of Crossroads Ministries for 27 years. And for some of those years, I did not attend a life group. But I continuously heard so many wonderful things about them that I decided to see for myself what it was all about. It was one of the greatest spiritual decisions I've ever made. Even though we read and study the Bible in our private time at home, I found that studying a weekly lesson in a small group setting gave me an opportunity to have a better understanding of God's Word. We can ask questions and have discussions about our lesson topics, such as the series on angels, heaven, women in the Bible. I have learned so much and have grown in my understanding of the Word, which helped me to grow in my relationship with God. I also found that getting to know the people in your small group makes it easier to become involved in activities in and outside of our classroom. Last year, we volunteered to help out with the tea and fashion show held here at Crossroads, and so many of us volunteered to participate in Walk Through Bethlehem as well. Our leader, Dina Eckert, also came up with the idea to have a monthly praise and prayer walk, which involves walking and handing out tracts about salvation. We have also prepared meals and given gift cards to those recovering from surgery, illness, or just experiencing difficult times. And it's important not only to be together during weekly class time, but to have fun and fellowship outside of our class. Dina makes sure that our class gets together at least once a month, whether it's at a restaurant, going to a museum, or getting together for a hoedown and a bonfire with a ton of food and learning about horses. She's already scheduling us to go and pick beautiful sunflowers from a farm. At first, these ladies in my class were my classmates. Then they became my friends. But the more time we spent together, they have become my family. And one last thing I'd like to share is that we have all become prayer warriors. We pray, support, encourage, and share our praises and requests, and we trust each other with them. We have seen many prayers answered and celebrated together. The small life groups became so important to me that I ended up teaching my own group for 15 years. And now I'm in two life groups, and I'm also a small group coach. I'm so thankful for my leaders, Dina Eckert, who teaches the New Women in Christ group, and Jim Bohannon, who teaches the Ambassadors for Christ life group. They both love the Lord and love their classes. I encourage you today to find a group that fits your needs and try it out. It would be a great way to start the new year.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy, for reading that testimony. So to prevent us from being that cotton candy Christian, God's third goal in verse 13 is to bring you to a place of Christ-likeness. Look with me once again. In verse 13, it says, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And then it says, into a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow up into the image of his Son. In other words, God's desire is for every one of us without exception, to become more like Jesus. Not that we're going to be perfect like him. We won't, and we know that, but we're growing. We're going in the right direction, and we're taking steps in our life in order for us to grow in our spiritual maturity. And that's what God's desire is for us. And I know sometimes we think, we wonder whether we're growing or not. And I want to caution you, don't try to measure yourself up against another person, because it's easy to find someone else and say, hey, I'm a better Christian than so-and-so. We all can do that. Another person is not the measuring stick. The measuring stick is Jesus. Hey, if you really want to know if you're becoming more like Jesus, again, look at his life. And again, God's goal is not for us to be perfect, but maturing. We're growing into the image of his Son. We're maturing in our stature as a Christian. And the great news is this, is God has gifted his church. He's gifted this church body in such a way for us to be able to help each other come to a place where we're continually growing in our relationship with the Lord. And we see this also take place in our small groups. At this time, I'm going to call the next person up to share their testimony. And this is Jamie Lipton. Would you welcome Jamie?
Good morning. My name is Jamie. My son Oliver is here with me as well. So I started attending the Women of the Word small group at the end of 2022. I received a phone call from Miss Vicki Allen after I had called the church looking for a small group. Vicki calmed my fears of not being accepted, not making any connections, not being welcomed, and being judged based on my outside appearance. As you can see, I have a good number of tattoos and piercings. She assured me that all of the women in the group were there to love me and not judge me, and that they would welcome me with open arms, which they did. On my first night in attendance, I was greeted with an abundance of love, hugs, and, "Jamie, we're so glad you're here!" The love and connection grew every day and continues to grow every day. Women from the group reach out to me through phone calls, emails, and texts simply just to check in on me and see if I need prayer for anything. I am not only a single mother, but I am also a high school teacher, someone who struggles with anxiety and depression, and someone who struggles financially. So I need a lot of prayer. These women are prayer warriors. These women have become my family. These women have become my sisters in Christ. These women have become who I know will always be there for me through the ups and the downs. There have been so many instances of how God has worked in this group, but I wanted to share a very specific story from recent events that I will always remember. 2023 was a pretty rough year for me financially, especially with expenses for my son. As I said before, I'm a single mother. I don't receive any child support or any sort of financial assistance. I live off of a single teacher income. I have always put my son first in everything, and what matters the most to me is that he is loved, cared for, happy, and healthy. I live paycheck to paycheck, and I'm typically pinching pennies by the end of the month. Toward November, I began being hit with a lot of expenses, and I started to worry about how I would be able to give my son a good Christmas while still getting all of my bills paid. I asked the women in the group to pray for me and ask God to provide for my son and for myself. Various women throughout the group began helping me without being asked by sending Zelle payments, donating groceries for my son and I, including a rib roast for Christmas dinner, donating money to help for my son for his Christmas gifts, and even bringing my son Christmas gifts personally. God has provided in so many ways I never would have imagined. I will forever be thankful to this group and this group of women. If you are looking for a group of women that understands that when one sister hurts, we all hurt, Women of the Word is the place for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. What a great testimony. We had others that gave testimonies in the first service as well. In verse number 14, we read the last goal that God has for us in our lives. The Bible says this, it says, "So we may no longer be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, by craftiness with deceitful scheming." God's goal for us is to bring us to a place of certainty, to provide you stability in all areas of your life, in your relationships, whether they're at home, whether they're at work, school, you name it. And if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we really know him, and we begin to know and learn his word, those are two certainties in our life that will help to provide stability in our life. It'll bring you confidence in who you are in Christ and what he can do in you and through you. You won't be easily deceived by those that want to try to trick you and lead you astray. But this requires effort on our part too. It requires coming to church like you did today. coming into a small group. Not that you're obligated to be there every time that they meet, but you come when you can. But when you come knowing that you belong. You belong to a group of like-minded believers that are there for you, to help you, to encourage you, to teach you, to protect you, to keep you accountable. And we all need that, amen? We all need that. And they are there to help make sure that you're not fooled by others. But again, we've got to do our part. We've got to make sure that we're reading and we're studying the Bible on our own. And if you're not doing that now, it's not too late. Read a few verses a day. Read a chapter a day. Download a Bible app on your phone that automatically pops up a verse of the day or a devotion of the day. And don't swipe it away. Don't set it aside. Don't ignore it. Don't remove that notification until you've read your Bible verses. Because when you get into God's word will get into you. Hey, I realize life is life. And as we go throughout our day, there are going to be all kinds of distractions that come your way that will tempt you to pull you away from the Lord and pull you away from His word. And that's why it's so important for you to find whatever time is best for you to have what you call quiet time with the Lord, where you can pray, talk to Him, read His word, and be encouraged by His word. For some people, it might be first thing in the morning. Before you get out of bed, you want to start your day off on the right foot and praise the Lord for that. But some of you might be, hey, Pastor Rich, I'm not a morning person. Anybody like that? That's why you're in the 11 o'clock service. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Hey, you might be that person. Say, hey, I am not a morning person. That's why I come to the later service. Hey, for you, it might be in the evening time. It might be right before you go to sleep. It might be at lunchtime, whatever time that works best for you. But the most important thing is pick a time and stick to the time. Spend time to know the Lord. The point of the matter today is this. It's the point of this passage, actually, and that's God's goal for us. God's goal for you is growth. God's goal for me is growth. We never stop learning. We never stop growing. And God wants us to grow spiritually and not be like that cotton candy that falls apart when trouble comes our way. You see, the cool thing is this, is God's put certain things in place to help us in the process. And God gives the body of Christ different gifts. So that way you can benefit from the gifts that He's given to other people in the church, but also in a way that other people can benefit from the gifts God has given you. It works both ways. You might think, hey, Pastor Rich, I don't need a group. I'm good. But I want you to think about it a different way. You might need a group, you might not need a group, but a group might need you. They might need you. And if you're not going to join a group for yourself and do it for others, let God use you in the way that He can use you to help make a difference in someone else's life. Amen? Amen. Oh, man. I want to see God work, and I want to see God move in people's lives. I want to see them get connected to a group so badly. As I said, because I know the difference that it can make in your life if you do that. You can see God at work in your life. You can see God work in the church. And then today, as we said, God's goals are very clear in this passage. He wants to bring you to a place of unity until we all come to the unity of the faith. He wants to bring you to a place of understanding of the knowledge of the Son of God. He wants to bring you to a place of Christ-likeness, unto a complete person. And then He wants to bring you to a place of certainty, that you have complete confidence that you can do all things through Christ. Yes, this requires effort, and this change in growth might not be easy, but it's worth it. Amen. With your heads bowed and with your eyes closed in an attitude of prayer here this morning, As I said, God's goal for us is to grow, personal growth, individual growth. And my prayer here this morning for you is that you take that next step of growth in your life. Lord Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work and move in individuals' lives through the preaching of your word this morning and through the testimonies that have been given. Lord, I pray that we all will evaluate ourselves where we are spiritually and how we can grow. And we'll take those steps towards growing in spiritual maturity. Lord, thank you for this day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.